Maggie, come here. Bring your notebook. My sister Maggie, she's the best. I love her so much. Earlier, was it? I think it was this morning. I walked into her room and I noticed this notebook and I'm like, ooh, this is really nice. I like it. Where did you get this? Who got it for you?
Yana.
Yana got it for Maggie. Good job, Yana. Like this is nice. But what really? I just looked at the verse. It's Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Lord is in this place. You guys are all over here, so I'll kind of transition over here too. But Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I know everybody's heard this verse and has heard it many, many times. And I really like this verse because it makes you feel good. It's like, yes, like God's gonna. Anyways, it says, all these things will be added unto you whenever. I mean, I've heard it so much. Whenever I hear it, I'm like, oh yes, like praise God. Like it's so good. Like everything is going to be added unto me if I seek his kingdom first. But I've heard it so many times that it doesn't really mean much to me anymore, because it's just like, okay, I'm seeking his kingdom. I'm doing it. For me, it's become something kind of basic, kind of generic, something that is meant to inspire people. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna get everything. Like it already guarantees all these things will be added unto you if you seek his kingdom. But do we actually seek his kingdom? Do we actually prioritize it as much as he means for us to prioritize it, to seek his kingdom first? Do we seek it first? I can say that I fall guilty to this. I don't always seek it first. Sometimes I try if I really put my mind to it. Other times I'm like, oh, I want to go have some fun. I want to go do this, do that. And it's a little sad to see that sometimes we don't really do that. We don't really seek it. Like, do we actually know what it means to seek it? Why don't we seek it first? What comes in between his kingdom? Why is there a roadblock? Why is there something we need to let go or get over in order to find his kingdom? Why do we chase after our own desires so much, when this verse literally guarantees everything that we might need or want? I just got to really thinking about it. Are our desires really good enough to where they deserve more priority than God's desires? Do we actually seek his kingdom first? For example, we like nice things. All of us like nice things. It's not necessarily bad to like nice things, but if you put it in the place of God, it's like, you can't do it anymore. But for example, I just got a new car. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's nice. I got a yeah, it's over there parked right next to Johnny's car. I got a Volkswagen, but I like this car. But then again, everybody also dreams of a really, really nice car, do we not? Like, I don't know, like a Ferrari or a Bugatti. It's like, Johnny, you know. Yeah. So it's like, for example, say I want a Bugatti and I slave for it. I work so hard for it. I save for it. I work so hard for it. Like, I don't buy anything else. But I waste, not waste, I like spend my life trying to get this Bugatti. And when I finally get it, Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I feel good, but what is it? It's just a piece of metal. What if I wreck it? What happened then? Did I gain anything? Just got it. Yeah. I just blew like, I don't know, like 3.5 million bucks or something. Like, what have I gained? Was this desire worth seeking? Was it worth me spending all this time? Was it worth my priority? I guess not. Or you could go try having fun. Try, I don't know, go clubbing, go have fun, go chase some good vibes. But after you come home, after a wild night like that, what have you gained? You haven't gained anything. You're probably just gonna feel like musar, just garbage. What have you gained? You haven't gained anything. You, in fact, you're just losing stuff. Or you could go actually seek his kingdom first, or you could actually go to church. You can get freed from your sins and addictions. You could get blessed. You can actually put yourself in a place where God's gonna bless you, God's gonna touch you, God's gonna show himself to you. You're gonna see miracles, you're gonna see signs and wonders, you're gonna see how he works in your life. You create more opportunities for God to work through you, for God to work in you when you seek his kingdom first. I want those opportunities. I want to see God work through my life. I want to have more and more testimonies every single day. Thank God that everybody here has a testimony of some sort. I've had a couple. And today, you guys had a bunch too. It's really good. I'm glad to hear that God works through your lives. I'm glad to see that you guys have evidence that nobody can like refute or go against, because it's God working in your life. Nothing can go against your life because you've seen it with your own eyes, you've heard it with your own ears. It's amazing. I'm glad that this happens. I'm glad that just God works through his people. And another verse, if you guys want to turn to Psalms 37, verse 4. This is another verse you guys have heard all the time, probably. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Amen. Come on. So, yeah. You can finally get that Bugatti if you want it that bad. You just delight in the Lord. You're seeking his kingdom first. Why shouldn't God reward you or something like that? I mean, if you really want that Bugatti, I mean, that's some idolatry right there or something. Which actually reminds me, in Bible school, actually, me and the guys, we always had this thing. So we're in Florida, we're in the South, people there are different. And whenever we saw this like massive truck, like a huge lifted truck, we're like, "Look at that eagle, look at that golden calf." It was just like we would just go to Walmart and there would be this big truck and we'd just be driving and we'd be like, "Eagle, golden calf." Yeah, get that Bugatti, but go sell it and go on a mission or something. Ooh, that's better. That's better than a Bugatti. When God sees that you are pleased with serving him and that you actually delight in him and his kingdom, when you're actually doing the work, when you're actually investing in it, prioritizing it, like why would he not reward you? Why would you not deserve it? He will not hesitate to reward you. He sees that you work hard. He sees that you're diligent, that you delight in it, that you love doing it, that you delight yourself in the Lord. I'm pretty sure that God's rewards are also something that nothing else can compare to. Like what he can think about, what he can provide, you'll never think of anything better. He's God. He has all the money. He has all the things. His reward is there's nothing better than his reward. There's nothing better than seeking something that he can provide. He wants to give it to you. He's like you are, you guys are his children. You guys are beloved by him. He wants you guys to be happy. I dare you to come up with something better than what God can give to you. It's like, who wants to be rewarded like that? Johnny? Everybody, good. Go delight in the Lord. Go seek his kingdom. You can do it. Yeah. Come on. If you guys want to turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So we covered why we need to seek the kingdom, why it's good, why it's beneficial, but how do you do it? How do you do it? What is seeking the kingdom? What does this look like? You guys heard what's the product, what you can gain, like how God can reward you, but how do you do it? What does this look like? I want to know. I want to go plug this into my life so God can bless me, so I can just build up his kingdom. Johnny, come here. Read this verse.
Do I need the mic? So.
Yeah, you can go get the mic.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Okay, stay. Key word in this verse is me. The Lord is upon Johnny. He has sent Johnny. Whenever anybody reads this verse, you read the word me. Like, this applies to everybody. Don't try to outrun this. Don't try to say that this isn't your calling. God's will, this is God's will. This is what you do to seek the kingdom. This is what you do that you can delight in the Lord. Thanks.
Thank you.
Spirit of the Lord's upon Johnny. Amen. Yeah, so if everybody reads it, like, read it aloud. Read it aloud sometime. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's upon me, it's upon Johnny, upon Maggie, Ola, like, whoever. This is for everybody. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is important because I remember we would always talk about, oh, we have to live the lifestyle of evangelism. We need to live so other people see that you're actually following Christ, that you're actually a believer. Like, I hear excuses of people. They're like, oh, that's not for me. Like, I can be on the worship team, or I can be an usher at church, or whatever. But if you're not doing this, if you're outrunning it, if you're just being like this kind of lukewarm Christian about it, it's like, are you still gaining something? Are you building the kingdom of heaven? I'm sad to say that you're not. Because you're not proclaiming good news to the poor. When you ignore those chances, maybe that chance that God gives you, it'll change somebody's life, it'll save somebody. Are you proclaiming liberty to the captives? It's sad to see that so many people ignore it. That so many people are just too caught up in their image that they're scared, or they're like, oh, maybe it's okay, like, that person doesn't need Christ, or that person doesn't want to change. You never know. You never know. If this is seeking the kingdom, this is actually doing what you're meant to do. God's will isn't going to be done if all we do is sit in church and listen to sermons. In Florida, another We had the pastor Bogdan. He had a little series in church. It was Why Sermons Don't Bring Change. Yeah, if anybody's heard it. And like the title was like, oh, it surprises me. It's like, why don't sermons bring change? They should. They should they not? Yeah, and he was telling me that, like, oh, sermons can be good. Sermons can be really biblical, but if you just come to church and you sit there and then you just go up and pat the pastor on the back and it's like, good sermon, and then you go home, what's happened? It's like you just came to watch a movie or something. And the final point of like this little series, it's like, how did it change you? How did it impact you? He was saying, like, why don't churches change? Why do they stay the same? Why don't they grow? Why do they just sit there, like, kind of idle for so many years? Because people aren't being changed by it. People aren't being inspired. People aren't seeking the kingdom. Come on. You are called to do God's work. You are obligated to do God's work. No one is going to be saved if all you do is be a gas station Christian. Has anybody heard that term before? Yeah. На заправку поехал. For the whole week, you're good. Just come to church once, fill up, и поехал. Or like a submarine Christian who's also heard that. Yeah, like the submarine just comes up. Oh, this is cool. And then it just goes back down and you just... So I'll see you next week. That's not right. You can't do that. Can you really call yourself a Christian if you do that? If you don't let God impact your life like that? If you don't let His work for you inspire you to do better, to go and seek the kingdom, to go and build the kingdom? Like, it feels good actually accomplishing your purpose. It feels good to go evangelize, to go save somebody. Won't it feel good to actually accomplish your purpose, to do what you were meant to do what you were made to do? Like, we're always like, oh yeah, it's going to be good. We're going to go evangelize. We're going to go save people. We're going to do this and that. We create goals. We prioritize. We sit in church. We gain that inspiration. But when the time actually comes to do it, we're like we just sit there, or we don't go and do it. Like, dreams come true when you actually fulfill them. Start doing. Quit dreaming. Can everybody turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16? There it is. Another way to just seek the kingdom first, to delight in the Lord, is to walk by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is really important. God's given us His Spirit. God's given us the Holy Spirit. Like when Jesus went up to heaven, He's like, I will send you a helper. And He did. He sent them the Holy Spirit. It's God on the earth. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against Such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Anybody who does this is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be seeking it, but if you seek your kingdom first, if you actually let that roadblock stand between you and Christ, your whole journey is going to be futile. We can all agree that these things are pretty bad. They're pretty, like, even reading it, I'm just like, ooh, like, not good. Not good. Apostle Paul just kind of tended to just place all the worst things in this one passage. If you do these things, you're not seeking the kingdom. It's that simple. This is just so self-explanatory. Those who do this are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We all want to inherit the kingdom of God, don't we? We can all agree that his kingdom is so much better than our kingdom. It's so much better than anything we can come up with. It's what gives us a purpose. It's what God wants us to do. It's what he meant for us to do. Everything meant for blessing and success is in here. God's promises, they're unconditional. They're promises. He's going to fulfill them. It says we are going to gain what we desire if we delight in him. It says if we do seek his kingdom first, he is going to add everything unto us. Why do we chase our own desires when at the end of the day, everything that we've accomplished is going to be just dust that the wind carries away? When I was growing up, my mom would always tell me, it's like, o деньги это пыль. And it's like, well, we can't really live without it, but at the end of the day, like, yeah, все сгорит. Все сгорит. Like, it'll be gone. When you die, like, what are you going to be able to take with you? You can't take all of that money. You can't take anything with you. It's just dust that the wind will carry away. It is nothing compared to what God has for your life. His plan is eternal. His reward is eternal. Ours is only temporary. Our plans are only temporary. Like, just all of you, be honest with yourself for a little bit. Just truly ask yourself, what do you want more? Is what you desire really that important? Is what you desire what God desires? Do you want eternal blessing? Do you want eternal goodness, or do you want just temporary dust? At the end of the day, how are you going to feel? Are you going to feel accomplished, or are you going to feel empty? Are you going to let God fill you, or are you going to fill yourself? God fills us up until we're overflowing. We never have to worry about being empty anymore. Everybody's heard the analogy, like, yeah, if a cup has like dirt in it or mud and you just put it under the water and you just leave it there, like, eventually all that dirt is going to come up with all the water, and the water will just keep coming out. God will always fill you up. He wants to fill you up. But if you just have your cup, you just put it under the tap, and then you're just like, okay, here, like, I have it, this is good, I'm thirsty, you drink it, and then what then? You have an empty cup. You have an empty cup. We can fill ourselves up for a little bit. We can feel good for a little bit. But once we do, actually, at the end of the day, how do you feel? What have you gained? You haven't gained anything. God's kingdom is eternal. God's kingdom is never ending. God's kingdom is something that he wants all of us to be a part of. God has done everything for you. He has given you the opportunity to be filled so much that you overflow, that you can fill others up, that you just run off, that he's given you every opportunity for you to show him, for you to actually seek his kingdom, for you to actually prioritize it and fulfill your purpose. Once you give God your everything, He will give you His everything. It says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things. Everything. Everything that you need or want. Like everything for your benefit, everything for your health. Delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Like imagine what a church would look like if every person sought the kingdom, if everybody actually let the sermons impact them, if everybody actually sought the kingdom above all else. Like if they sought for it like something that they needed, something that they couldn't live without. Like everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. Everybody wants to be a part of that kingdom. Like it's scary to just think about dying like without Christ, dying without a purpose. Like I've been thinking and it's like, can I imagine myself being un-Christian anymore? It's like, yes, I can. That would be bad. But the worst thing is that I no longer have a purpose. What am I going to live for now? I'm not living for His kingdom anymore. I'm living for myself. I'm living for these desires, for these pleasures, which at the end of the day are just going to fade away and I'm going to die empty-handed. Amen. Come on. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to live without a purpose. I want His kingdom. I want to gain everything instead of nothing. It's just when somebody lives without a purpose, are they really living? You guys can answer that.
No.
Exactly. They're not living. And God gave us a life. He gave us a life to live. He's given it to us. Our lives are not our own, it is said. God has given us everything. God has saved all of us. Everybody here has a testimony. Everyone here can probably recall that time when they actually accepted Christ into their heart. And it's amazing that all of us here are saved. All of us here love the Lord. It's amazing that everybody here is working towards that kingdom. Everybody here is actually knows what lies ahead. Like you guys know where you guys are going. You guys know what to do. It's all written right here. You guys have a purpose. Like we are citizens of this kingdom. Christ has just given this to us. He has saved us. He has put us. He has just anointed us as His sons and daughters, as His people. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. It is in this kingdom. And in a nation, in a kingdom, citizens participate in it. They vote, they run for office, they're the ones who rule the nation, necessarily. I mean, if the government system is like not communism or something, then that's how it goes. But like in America, for example, this is a democracy. We get to vote, we get to have an equal say. Like if the people all rise up and want something, they're going to get it. The citizens run the nation. The people have the power. A citizen is entitled to take part and participate in the nation, in the kingdom. You guys are part of the kingdom. God placed you as citizens. You are obligated to do something. You are obligated to work. You are obligated to build it up, to seek the kingdom. At work, me and the guys, we were talking about like politics and like Trump and Clinton and all that stuff, and they said something that really kind of got my attention. They were saying, you can't complain about the state of this nation if you didn't vote, if you didn't actually participate, if you didn't do anything to to gain like that final decision of who's going to be president or whatever. They were just they were kind of just telling me, they're like, oh, like, we hate it when people who didn't vote start complaining. It's like, you didn't do anything. Like, you didn't pick the right person, pick the one who would make this country a better place. So go do it, go vote, go participate, because it is Christ's church who leads his mission on earth. It is us who actually go seek the kingdom. And once again, like, what are you building on? Are you seeking your kingdom or his kingdom? Are you seeking the eternal or the temporary? And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Are you building on the precious stones, on the gold and silver and, I don't know, diamonds? Or are you building on the wood, hay, and straw? What you build, it will test. It will come. God will test it. God will see how much you actually did prioritize his kingdom. How much you looked for it. How much you sought it out. And the gold, the silver, and the precious jewels, once they go through the fire, they only get more refined. They only get cleaner. God will see that you actually looked for it. God will see that you actually prioritized it, that you built upon it. And he will understand that you did seek his kingdom. You did find his kingdom. But if you build on the wood, the hay, and the straw, it burns up. Once again, it turns into ash, it turns into dust. It'll just get carried away. What have you accomplished then? You haven't accomplished anything. It's like once you get to think about it in this way, you really understand that anything that is not of God, it truly is pointless. If you're not Christian, it is pointless. Where are you going to end up at the end of the day? What have you gained? You haven't gained anything. And it's sad to see that so many people are just willing to kind of put it off, to kind of put it under the rug, so to speak. And that many people, they still try to seek their own desires. They still try to build their own kingdom, to build on that wood, hay, and straw. And all of the evidence is here. God says, God's promises says that he will add everything unto you. He will give you the desires of your heart. Like, why do people still do it? Why do people still want the temporary? Like, I've fallen guilty to this. It's possible to not seek your own kingdom. There is a way out. There is something better to look forward to. But do we do that? Not all the time. Is it possible to do that? Is it possible to seek his kingdom? Absolutely. The benefit is endless. The reward is eternal life. The reward is his kingdom. His kingdom is the reward. And why do we not go out and just tell others about it? Why do we not go out and actually give it, like, offer it to other people? God's given it to us. We are the citizens. God has blessed us. God has given us everything. We can give it to others. We can go out and give other people hope. We can actually help other people find the kingdom that we're also looking for. Amen. It says, seek the kingdom first. The key word is seek. His kingdom has to be found. It's not right here. God wants you to try. God will reveal it to you. God will actually show you that it's something that he wants you to find. How hard are you willing to look for it? How much do you want this reward? How much do you want to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill your calling, to do exactly what you were meant to do? Like, it would just feel so bad. Like, imagine the shame, the guilt that you would feel if you actually, on Judgment Day, Christ actually did test what you built, and the wood, hay, and the straw, it all burned up. It says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only us through fire. Like, you've accepted Christ, you love Christ, you gave him your heart, but if everything you have burned up, like, imagine how that would feel. Imagine, like, I don't ever want to be put into that position. That would just make me, like, it's indescribable how bad you'll feel, how much shame and guilt and the regret you'll feel, because you will know, you will understand that you could have made that decision, you could have made that step, you could have went and prayed for this person or that person, or just looked for it with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. Like, I want to do this now. It's something that has to be done. It's something that God created us to do. It's something that he wants us to do. It's something that really just encompasses our purpose. God gives us opportunities. God wants to bless us. God wants to reward us. Why are we not willing to actually take that step or let him do that? Why are we a lot of the time so selfish? But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Seek first. Do we seek it first? We can seek it first. We will seek it first, because seeking anything else before that is just not worth it. It's gonna burn up. It will turn into that dust, into that ash. How bad do you really want things to happen? How bad do you really want to actually fulfill God's plan, his calling? God has just given you a calling. Like, if everybody, like, can go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says it right here. Like, Johnny came up and read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He has sent you. He has appointed you. But did you actually go and do it? Did you actually go and proclaim the good news to the poor? Did you actually proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind? Those who don't know Jesus are blind. We were all blind at one point of time. I know I was blind. I know many of you were also blind. Did you actually set liberty those who are oppressed? Did you actually go and do God's work? It makes me feel bad, because I have ignored opportunities like that. I have actually, like, seen somebody who needs prayer. Like, you look at this person and you're like, man, like, they need prayer. They need to be comforted. They need some hope. And you're just like, oh, I'll go to Starbucks or something. Yeah, it's sad, but we don't have to be like this. We don't. Like, the desires of our hearts, God will fulfill them. God will reward you. God will see that you're trying hard, that you're delighting in Him, that you're seeking His kingdom, that you are going along His path. You're not going to the left or the right, and you're going, and you're actually going towards that kingdom, toward His kingdom. God, we've been preaching about kingdom and sons and daughters and victory and everything like that. All ties into one thing. God has called us His children. He's called us His anointed, His holy people, like what David was preaching about last week. He has forgiven us. He's given everything to us, if you really think about it. He's given each of us salvation. He's given us His inheritance since we are His children. He has given us His kingdom, like the citizenship. He's also given that to us. God is entitled to your hard work, to He is entitled to this. He deserves it, really. He deserves our hard work. He deserves like our effort. God has given us everything. Why don't we give Him our everything? Because once we give Him our everything, He'll just give us everything once again. Every desire of our heart, everything will be added unto us. There's not going to be anything to worry about anymore. What is better than fulfilling God's calling? What is better than actually fulfilling that purpose that He has given to you? Like, I can't think of anything better. None of you can either. I don't think so. But can I have a keyboard come up? Ask yourself what you really want, what you are living for. Ask yourself what you are building. Go see the progress you've made. Is it something that is going to burn up, or is it something that is going to just be refined and something that is worth all the effort, something that God wants to see, something that He just wants you to do. He's called all of us to seek His kingdom first. To seek His kingdom first. The key word is first above everything else. I encourage all of you to go and seek it first. I encourage all of you to go and delight in the Lord. Because there is nothing better. There is nothing that is going to really matter more than that. There's nothing that's going to benefit more than that. Like, I feel convicted by this because I've ignored His call much of the time. But we don't have to be like this. He forgives. He gives us opportunities to do better. He gives us the material to build. Do we actually take it and build it, or do we go and waste it? Like, we don't have to be like this anymore. We can actually go and do it and fulfill our calling. We don't have to feel guilty anymore. We don't have to feel really convicted anymore, because we will know that we're doing the right thing, that we're giving God what He actually deserves. Can everyone stand? Lord, we just thank You that You're in this place, Father, that You have shown us that Your kingdom, it's the best thing that we can ever imagine. It's the best reward that You can ever give us, Father God. We thank You that You have given us everything necessary, all the opportunities, all the material to build on the precious stones, to seek Your kingdom first, to delight in You, Father God. I thank You that what You have said today, Father, that everything that You have revealed, Father, that everybody has understood it, Lord, that nobody is going to exit this building being the same, Father God, we worship you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that your kingdom is we're seeking it first, Father God. That we are building upon the eternal and not the temporary, Lord. I pray that everybody here can just seek it above all else, Lord. Lord, we ask forgiveness for just ignoring your call so much of the time, Father God. For just seeking our kingdom first. For seeking the things that will make us feel good, Lord Jesus. For not giving you what you deserve. For not giving you our everything, Lord Jesus. We ask that you just help us do better, Father God. We ask that through this, Lord, you will just bring us closer together as a family, as citizens of your kingdom, Father God, that actually doing your work, Lord, that actually doing your work, the unity of doing it together, of seeking your kingdom first, Lord, it will bring us together, Lord, that we will actually be finding your kingdom, that we will actually be delighting in you, O Lord. I ask that you just bless every single person, Father, that you strengthen these hands that are going to work for you, Father, that are going to just be bondservants of Christ, O Lord. Lord, we thank you that construction is going to happen, Father, that we are going to build on those precious stones, Lord. Lord, that the eternal will finally be something that we can grasp, that we can look forward to, Lord. That your kingdom will be found, Father, because we will be seeking it first and with all diligence and above all else, Father. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, God, that every opportunity, Lord, it has been given, Father. Everything has been given to us. Father, help us just to give it all back to you, Lord. Give you everything, Father, because you deserve it. You deserve it, Father God. You deserve it, Lord. Help us just always lay it all down, Father, and understand that we own nothing, Lord, because you own everything. You have given it to us, Lord. Help us to stop ignoring your call. Help us to stop seeking our kingdom first. Father, do what you must, do what you need, Father. And let us never forget how important it is how to seek your kingdom, how futile it is to seek anything else, Father. I ask you, Lord, that you may just place this on everybody's hearts, Father, that you may just show them, Father, that you may let them realize that they are called to a greater purpose, Father. They are called to build. They are called to serve, O Lord.